If you'd open your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew, if you're watching by streaming, thank you for watching. And if you'd open your Bible, if you're where you can, you may not be where you can, but we're in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 5. And today is Children's Day in the life of our church. And really, there's a purpose behind this. And hear me tell you what the purpose is. It's twofold. Number one, it's to remind students, or at least to reinforce to students, that they are important to God. We want every boy and girl to know that they are really important to God, that God has a plan for their life. And today we do a lot of special things that would be very child-friendly to try to do that. Number two, we want to remind ourselves as a church that we do have a window of opportunity to make a difference in the lives of boys and girls. I mean, if we wait till they're 15, 16, 17 years of age, that window of opportunity is very, very small. But now, when they're children, the younger, the wider the window, and we do all we can. And we need to recommit ourselves that we leave no stone unturned, because we can really make a difference, as Mr. Cullen said, by in every way we can, whether it be in the school, the church, either, both, planting the Word of God in their mind. And when we do, it's amazing what happens, and you can do it at a very young age. I want you to see a little video of a little young class in the school that works very diligently, not only these you saw here, but in all of our classes memorized. But watch this video, watch what they say, but watch how they say it. Pretty good. We'll give the Lord a hand. Now, I wonder what would happen if we jumped up and said, "This is the day the Lord has made." Some of us would have to have help getting back down. But anyway, you know, I remember as a boy growing up in church in rural Georgia, little country church, but I still remember Bible verses that I learned as a small child. I do. In fact, in many of my sermons, the majority of verses I quote, I memorized as a small child so long ago. And that is such a blessed thing to me. And not only the Bible verses, I remember these songs, little songs that we had. Now, I said in the first service, and Jimmy, this I need to talk to you about this tomorrow, I had church members come up to me that say they're still singing some of these same songs. So if that be true, I guess it be true. But the songs are outdated, but when I was growing up, they were not. Like, do you remember the song, like, do Lord, oh, do remember me? Oh, okay, maybe. Well, another song that I remember was Deep and Wide. Do you remember that song? Like, deep and wide, deep. Can you sing it with me? Deep and wide, deep. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Do you remember that? I said, Pastor, how old do you think we are? Well, that's just what we did, and I still remember that. Now, one other song I was thinking about that I remember singing as a child that, you know, I'm not sure it's really outdated or not, is that song, This Little Light of Mine. Do you any of you remember that song? Like, This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine. This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine. Do y'all remember that? Jimmy, I think so. Let's sing that little song. Can we do it first with that?
Light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine.
Yes, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Are y'all interested in this at all? The way we did that, we held up our finger like a light. We said, you remember that? Let's do that. I mean, okay, humble yourselves. Let's do it this way. This little light of mine. Lead us, Jimmy. Come on.
This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. Oh, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
I owe you a hamburger. Thank you so much. When I asked Jimmy this week to do that, he's so nice. He didn't say anything unkind. He just rolled his eyes. But anyway, it's okay. Now, let me tell you something. Long before that song ever came into existence, Jesus had already taught about our life is to be a light. And I want to show it to you in the Bible. It's in Matthew chapter number 5. We know that Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. And it begins, let's look in verse 1. Seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came unto him. So it starts out, he's talking to his little followers, that little group of disciples. And then as he taught, no doubt, as you read the sermon, others kind of joined in. And then you have these Beatitudes. Why are they called Beatitudes? Have you ever wondered that? Because they are to be our attitude. That's the whole deal. This should be our attitude of life. These things we call our Beatitudes. And then in verses 13 through 16, which we'll read in a moment, Jesus talks about being salt and light. But here's what I want you to remember. It's not in the sermon, but it's important. Beginning with verse 17 through the remainder of the Sermon on the Mount, it tells us these different ways we're to live, different things we're to do. But our scripture today tells us what we must be in order to do all of that. And so these are very, very important verses. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 says, Jesus is speaking, and here's what he said. You are the salt of the earth. And then he illustrates, if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Verse 14, Jesus makes another important statement. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And then Jesus makes application. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. But now watch this. And glorify your Father in heaven. Turn over in chapter 6, verse 1. I want to clear up something. Many times people say, we don't want anybody to see anything we do for God. Well, look in chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus still speaking. He said, take heed that you do not do charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your heavenly Father, from your Father in heaven. In chapter 6, verse 1, he's talking about man getting the glory. In other words, we should not do anything that brings us the glory, okay? Now, go back in our scripture in chapter 5, verse 16. It's God being glorified. And so, it's a wonderful thing when you see people doing things that God gets the glory, not me, not you, not mankind, but God gets the glory. Now, these little four verses, actually, all you have these two parallel parables right here together, but they teach the same truth. They're talking about our Christian witness and influence. That's the title of my sermon. And it comes from the fact that's what these four verses are talking about, our Christian witness and influence. Now, if you take your bulletin, I want you to talk about it. And I think the beginning good place would be to say that as you look at those verses, look at what Jesus says. One of the first things so important is that we understand before we can be light, we must be salt. I wish you'd fill that blank in. That's so important. Many people try to be light that are not even salt. You can't be a light if you're not salt. So before you can be a light, you have to be salt. if you look in our scripture. Verse 13 says you are the salt of the earth. But then you go down to verse 14 and it says you are the light of the world. So he didn't start out saying, now here, you are the light, and then say, now you are the salt. Jesus said you are salt, and then Jesus said you are light. And he didn't say you are to become salt, nor did he say you're to become light. No, no, it's not a matter of becoming. This is not scripture on discipleship. This is scripture on what happens when a person receives Christ. See, Christ offers his life to us. Our part is to receive him. And when we receive him, his spirit comes to live within us. And so, because Jesus tells us in John chapter 9, verse 6, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So, when we receive Christ's life into our life, he, the light of the world, comes to live in us, and we are, according to this scripture, we are to be reflections of his light. In other words, we're to be like little lights. He's the big light, and we're the little light. Now, let's think about light for a moment. And if you jot down two or three things in these blanks, it will help us in just a moment. You know, some of the qualities of light, of salt, not light, some of the qualities of salt. Number one, salt is pure, P-U-R-E. The Romans said that salt is the purest thing in the whole world. I'll just leave the quote with you. But the fact of the matter is salt is pure. Number two, another characteristic, another quality of salt. Salt is a preservative. We'll talk about that in a moment. It's a preservative. It's not a cure, but it's a preservative. Like if you have a piece of meat, part of it's tainted, and you put salt all over that meat. The tainted part, the corrupted part, the salt won't cure that. But the salt will stop the spreading of the corruption to the rest of the meat. And the same application, we'll come back to that. But not only is one of the characteristics of salt is pure, salt is a preventive. Another thing, salt adds flavor to things. Like if you don't have salt in something, it tastes bland, B-L-A-N-D. Those of us who don't use much salt, you know, we understand that. I've heard people say, well, if you don't use salt long enough, you don't notice the difference. Well, you'd have to use it, not use salt longer than I have. I can tell the difference every time I bite into it. Food with no extra salt. You know, Dottie, of course, has no salt issue. But, like, she just re-salts everything. It can already be salty. I think if you served her a little dish of salt, she'd resalt the salt. You know, I mean, she does. And her blood pressure is very, very low. You know, I don't resalt anything because I watch out. But the food, you know. I ate an egg this morning with no salt. Say, what did it taste like? Like an egg with no salt. It just, you know, that's what it tastes like. I mean, that's a deal. Oh, my gracious. But the point is, salt does add flavor to life. Now, with that little foundation, let's move on to the more important thing. If you're taking a bulletin, we're not commanded to produce light. We're commanded to reflect light. That's what Jesus talks about here. This is a great... I'm so glad God does not command me to produce light. It's not my job to produce light. It's not your job to produce light. No, it's your job and my job to reflect light. And you say, well, how in the world can we reflect light? Well, now remember, we first must be salt. And that is, if we're going to be a good reflection of his light in life, then we're going to have to be pure. We're going to have to be pure in our words, pure in our conduct, pure even in our thinking. Well, I mean, that's a sobering group of things I've just mentioned. If you stop and think about all your words, are they pure? Everything comes out of your mouth pure? I'm not just talking about profanity. I'm just talking about everything that comes out of your mouth. Gossip and slander and criticism, all that stuff's not pure. That stuff is sin. Sin's not pure. So that's a serious issue. But if I want to be a good light, if I want to reflect His light, then I'm going to have to be pure in my words, in my conduct, how you live your life, how I live my life, and even in my thoughts. You know, Holy Spirit, guard my thoughts. Should be a prayer of yours every day. And so when we're that way, and then if we want to be a good reflection, we don't produce light, we reflect life, we're going to have to live our life with this quality of being a preserver, preservative. You say, and it's Children's Day, and I thought, you know, this is a good time to illustrate with children. Like, for example, let me just say to parents, and we'll put grandparents in, and any other family members that have an opportunity, but like, if children grow up in a home, and they see their family, their parents, their grandparents, whoever in the family, if they see their parents daily read their Bible, they see their parents pray, they see their parents say important things about God, if they see their parents put God in church first over anything and everything else, I'm telling you, it's a preservative. But the problem is, so many of our children, the parents, it's like the kids are running the family. Or maybe nobody's running the family. Everything else seems to be priority over God and church. And I'm not on a crusade. I'm just preaching what God's put in my heart, and I'm really preaching truths from the Bible. Let me illustrate. Like, Sunday is the Lord's Day. But now Sunday is the soccer day. It's the Little League day. It's the recital day. It's the rodeo day. It's the football day. It's the basketball day. It's the baseball day. I mean, it just never ends. It just never ends. You say, well, now, Pastor, now, wait a minute. Before you just now pastor me, listen, when children grow up and Sunday they're out on the soccer field instead of being at the house of God, this is the Lord's Day. They're not going to be teaching the Word of God on the soccer field. They'll get it later, preacher. Well, I'm sure glad I didn't believe that, because later they're older and they're not even looking for much about God. That's kind of what the deal is. I'm just saying this. God and His church should be priority over everything. Now, that's not to say there's not a Sunday that you go, so I'm not, you know me better than that. And you know well what I'm saying to be true. I'm saying, and I see it, and it's some of the very best families. It breaks my heart. And they think they say this, we want to do things with our kids. That's wonderful. Why don't you think about doing something with your kid, and one of those things be bring them to church? That's a pretty good thing to do with your kids. Put them where they can be taught the Word of God and teach them just by your example. Now that, you see, if we don't, what happens, it just spreads. And listen, it's already spread. See, now those children have gotten grown. Now they've married. Now they've got children. And they're doing the same thing to their children that their parents did to them. And I'll tell you, I've been around so long now, those kids have kids. And it's even worse and worse and worse and worse. I'll tell you what. God, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things be added unto you. Now, if you take what I'm saying and try to put it in some legalistic context, you're just missing the spirit in what I'm saying. I really would encourage you, don't pay as much attention to how you think I said what I said. Think what God says. God is first. And all this other stuff, we have 6 days a week to do a bunch of other stuff. And you can do a bunch of other stuff after church. It's not like the day ends at noon. There's all afternoon. But we need to be a good salt, pure and preservative. And then this idea of flavor. You know, Christianity is to life, or it should be, what salt is to food. You know, salt gives food flavor. Like, sometimes you'll just be in a room and a certain Christian person can walk in that room, it just lights up the room. Do you know? Can't you think of people like that? Would you just nod your head like you could? Okay. And of course, other times you can be in a room and other people come in a room and it's like somebody turned the lights off in a room. Now, could you nod your head on some of them? Yeah. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is there are just people that when I'm in their presence, they just add flavor. Like when I'm around Dr. Kendall, if he wasn't even teaching anything, if we're just having a meal together, he just brings flavor to the thing. People that live godly lives, they do that. And I want to be that kind of person. In fact, God commands us to be that kind of person. Look at our scripture in verse 16. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." But what happens, you know, if we're saved, we're salt. And the thing about salt is it can be diluted. If you take a little spoonful of salt and pour it in a glass and fill the glass about half full and try to drink it, it's hard. It's awful. But if you take the same spoonful of salt and put it in a big pitcher and fill the pitcher with water, still water tastes salty, but you could drink the water. It won't be as bad. See, we're the salt of the earth. But what happens, we've been diluted. There's just so many things of the world that come, and all of them aren't even bad things, but what they do, and many are, we just lose our saltiness. Now, in our scripture, if you notice, in verse, it says, "You're the salt of the earth," verse 13, but if salt loses its flavor, well, the salt you and I are familiar won't lose its flavor because salt's old and lose its saltiness. But in the Dead Sea area, where Jesus would have been in that proximity when he's taught this, not out at the Dead Sea, but in that whole region, that salt, because of the minerals that are in that salt, it can, over a period of time, lose its flavor, and it would only be good to just throw out maybe on what you and I would call a path that would maybe be something people could just walk on rather than get their feet maybe in the mud type thing. And so that's what I think Jesus had in mind when he said that. But the application to you and me is that, you know, I want to be a salt. I am salt. I'm saved. I've received Christ. Hopefully you have. Okay, so we're salt. But I want to be a salt that's pure. I want to be a salt that's a preservative. And I want to be a salt that adds flavor. And if I will do that, and if you'll do that, I mean, we don't have to run around telling people we're salt. What we will do, we will reflect his light, like in our home with our family, at work, like when I'm at work, you know, I want to be a reflection of the light of Jesus Christ. In my daily life, I talk about that so oftentimes. I had a new experience just yesterday. I'm going to correct it in the morning, or I'm going to take it back to get it fixed. But I want to be a good light. You might want to pray for me in the morning. I had something happen at my dry cleaners yesterday I've never had happen. I've had double creases and triple creases. And I don't pay extra for triple creases. That wasn't my problem yesterday. I went late yesterday to pick up my dry cleaning. And the regular people that work there, they weren't there. There was some other couple there, people. I think they were kinfolk. I'd never seen these people. And they gave me, I had two bundles. And like when I take cleaning, I like my shirt, that's laundry. That's going to have starch. But my other clothes would be dry cleaning. You don't starch the coat, you dry clean the coat. But when I pick it up, I want all my laundry to be with my laundry. I've never had it any other way. And I want my dry cleaning to be dry. Well, these people had messed it up. They'd put my starch shirts, two or three in one bundle, then put a bunch of jackets. They'd crushed my shirts. They looked worse than I did when I took them. Now, tomorrow morning, my regular people will be back. And so I'm going to go in the morning. I think I'll do it this way because I want to be a light. I believe I'll give her that little booklet, those 31 principles John wrote. I normally on Saturday or Friday afternoon when I go by to get my laundry and dry clean, I always take this couple a bulletin to read. But these folks Saturday, I didn't know them and I didn't know what I should do. I didn't do anything. I saw my clothes and I didn't think about blessing him with my bulletin. I just went along. But I'm going to take my shirts back and say, look, these people that you had working here, I think they're kinfolks. They look like the same nationality people. They bagged my stuff up, and look what they did. And these folks are so sweet. They're so kind. They'll redo it. But now you say, well, Pastor, we all have these problems. Yes, but that drives me crazy. I want my shirts, at least what you see, to be nice. Now, if the back's bad, I'm okay. I got my, but you, these things, it cost a lot of money. But wouldn't it be awful tomorrow if I just went in and pitched a fit? That would be, you say, well, how silly of you. Well, let me ask you, any of you pitch a fit last week over anything? Could we have a good old confession service right now? Yeah. I can think of several little things last week where I knew what I was preaching today, and I thought, don't do it, don't do it, don't say it. Then I remembered what my mother said. My mother gave me, next to the Bible, my mother had some of the neatest things. She always would say to me, Charles Jr., don't say everything you think. Did you know I turned the radio on this morning, listened to John on the radio this morning? He was talking about the tongue. I thought, oh, great day. Dottie turned it up a little extra loud. That's her way of saying, listen. And lo and behold, he goes to quoting my mother. Dottie said, did you hear that? I thought, man, I did. But, you know, it's so true. We with our words, wouldn't we all agree with this? Don't we want our words to be a reflection of Jesus? Could I have an amen to that? And we're not perfect. None of us. We're going to mess up. Look, that's all right. Ask God to forgive you to do. But the fact of the matter is, the importance, you know, the light I reflect probably has more impact on people than the sermons I preach. You know, like if people come to church here as a visitor, I mean, they figure out pretty quick, I'm the pastor, and I'm up here preaching a sermon. This is what pastors do. But now, so I kind of do what they expect. Well, if I'm out in the world here, I'm out in regular Monday through Friday life, everybody doesn't know I'm the pastor, but they would expect, if they found out I was the pastor or the Christian man or the Christian woman, you be, whatever, that, you know, we would reflect a light accordingly. Now, let me ask you this morning. I mean, none of us are going to be perfect at this. I understand. It's what makes this sermon difficult. We all struggle in this thing. But the question comes, like, what kind of light do you reflect? I've about beat myself up all I want to here. What about you? Really? You say, well, you know, I'm kind of a, you know, I'm, well, you're kind of what? You say, well, I'm a bad light or I'm a good light. Well, let's do it this way. I mean, that's hard. I mean, what's bad and good mean? Let's just say on a scale of 1 to 10. 1's bad. 10's good. What kind of light, where would you be in that, in reflecting the light of Jesus Christ? We're commanded not to produce the light. Boy, that takes the heat off. We're commanded to reflect the light. And my question, very simple, where are you at here? Well, we're all somewhere. We can all be better. But here's the deal. It may be that the Holy Spirit is saying to some here this morning, as he did in the early hour, you can't reflect light if you don't have the light to reflect. You can't do that. In other words, if you've never received the gift of Jesus Christ into your life, you don't have anything to reflect but yourself. So could it be this morning as it was earlier, that some of you this morning are going to say, you know what? I've never thought of it this way. Christ gives his life to me. I fear too often in church we keep saying over and over to people, look, give your life to Christ. That's the sweetest thing in the world to say. It's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. You don't give your life to Christ. You first receive His life. He gives His life to you. And what you do, then you receive His life. Then inside of you lives the light. He is the light. And then you give your life to Christ. I fear many church members are trying to live their life for Christ. They've never even received the life He gives them. That could be some of you this morning. I want you to bow with me, please. Heads bowed. This is such a sacred, serious time. First service, such a beautiful thing. One person in the first service had invited, if I have the story right, some of his kinfolks, a man and a woman, husband and wife, to church today. They'd never been. They came this morning, first time here, because a family member invited them or a friend, whatever it might be. That husband and wife was saved right over here this morning. Others this morning realized they had never received the life of Christ. This morning, that may be you. That may be you. You may be a member of the church, but you've really never received Christ. I want you this morning to do that. I encourage you to do that. Just pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you this very moment, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Make me a Christian. I trust you, Jesus, to save me. I thank you I'm saved. With our heads bowed and hearts open. Others, perhaps you would say, Pastor, I'm a little confused at this point. I've prayed that kind of prayer over and over. But I'm just not really completely certain when I die that I'll go to heaven. Now, with your heads bowed and your hearts open, hear me this morning. You can be certain of one thing, and so can I. One day, all of us will die. Now, I know that's not what we want to hear this morning, but it's true. Every single one of us, one day, will die. And then, here's what you need to be concerned about. Don't be concerned if you're going to die. You are going to die. So am I. So I need not be concerned about that. I may be concerned about how I die. You may also. But not about the act of dying. You'll die. Here's what you need to be concerned about. You need to be concerned about what's next. And what's next is eternity. And here's why you need to be concerned about it. Because you will spend the rest of your life there. Now, that's why you need to be concerned about it. So if you're not sure 100%, you can be. You can be. It'll be the greatest. Oh, man. Pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I think I'm saved. I'm not completely sure. I'm just not sure. But this morning, I can't live on like this anymore. I want to settle that, and I ask you now, Jesus, if I've not, I do. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and make me a Christian. I trust you, Jesus. Thank you I'm saved. Thank you I've settled my salvation this morning. In your name I pray.